Blog Talk Radio.
Do you believe that America has become too politically correct? Von Wehhunt speaks truth to power. Do you see the coming of our political and economic demise? Von Wehhunt speaks bluntly about the need to correct America's course quickly. And now, broadcasting from the Eagle's Nest, a man who makes no excuses for putting America first. Here's your host, Von Wehhunt the Barbarian.
America. Tonight's episode is 66, Biden as Captain Chaos, with a star date of September 2nd, 2021 AD. Tonight's a very special show. We'll have two VIP guests on the show tonight. Paul the Gladiator and Kim the Truth Seeker will be on later jointly at their retreat, talking about galactic history and how it pertains to our world today. Thank you all for being here tonight. Tempt not, as I've told you before, the righteous man in America and the gridirons of the country and the country. Don't tempt him to draw his sword. But if you must, be prepared for our counteroffensive. Our great revolutionary ancestors did not give us this country in vain. We will fight for it. And if the powers that be don't back off at some point, well, I think the people will give them a dose of their own medicine, and they won't like it one bit. Word of the wise, in the words of 1776, the flag that joined the colonies, join or die, was the motto for that era. The devil is alive and well all over the world. Just look at the news. Every day, it's amazing, isn't it, Mr. and Mrs. America? The devil whispered in America's ear recently and said, you, America, you are not strong enough to withstand the storm. And then America turned to the devil and about face and whispered in the devil's ear back, you know nothing at all. We are the storm. How about those apples, America? The difference in humans and animals is that animals would never allow or let the dumbest animals like Biden lead the pack. We're so glad you're here tonight, folks. Big show. And I would also say this. Welcome to our weekly church meeting. This is our show on the altar of truth, knowledge, and wisdom. And like every Sunday going to church, every Thursday night, we attend church on the radio airwaves worldwide. This is your show. This is your warrior's pledge. This is our blood oath. No, the Von Wiegand Show has been permanently banned on Twitter. Did you know that? And our radio signal is now being blocked again by the government of New Zealand. New Zealand has fallen, like I told you in the last show. The entire country has gone dark. This is our segment that I'd like to call it, I Thought You'd Like to Know, America. Though New Zealand is still dark tonight, and we know our radio signal has been blocked, I want you to guess which foreign country has the highest amount of listeners. And I will tell you, and cheat a little, it's not the United Kingdom. It's not Canada. Definitely not wicked New Zealand, now with the blackout. And not even Australia, which had their successful trucking strike around the country. There was a news blackout in Australia because of all that. The truckers went on strike there. It is the country of Thailand that has the highest market share, 1.74% of listeners for that country in our statistics. We have a lot of listeners in Thailand. So we love you, Thailand. We love you long time. We love you big time. I need to go there someday, and I will expect a tumultuous welcome like that of a glorious Roman warrior coming home from battle when I and my radio entourage enter the gates and enter the streets of Thailand. The foreign countries like that we love. There must be a lot of expats there or CIA agents listening in because you're pretty close to Afghanistan. We welcome you all to the show, and do call in when you can. The foreign countries rank as follows in the top listenership of the Von Wiegand Show. Thailand, number one, then Australia, then the United Kingdom, and then Canada, in that order. Pretty interesting stuff. And the truth is that the first tier officers in our armed forces with this Afghanistan debacle and fiasco have let all Americans down. We'll get to that too tonight, as well as galactic information and history, things that you'll love. This is kind of my version of the Art Bell Show tonight. And if you are a first-time caller, do you even know the power that you have? Do you know that you can reach the show at 563-999-3437 after, of course, our VIP guests have the floor first, the coveted VIP spot. Last week it was the Irish Pirate, and now we're bringing up Paul the Gladiator and Kim the Truth Seeker. But do you know, as a new caller, you get in front of everyone else who's a regular caller? If I notice that you're a new caller, my switchboard operator will tell me that you're a brand new caller. Don't lose your cool and don't hang up. We'll get you on the air because you get first in line. That's the power that you hold as a radio listener and a first-time caller. Barbarian Talk Radio for the American people and the world. We speak truth to power. Now, my gab, profile of the show starts off just like that. If you can find me on gab.com, the archive shows, of course, are always on blogtalkradio.com and Podomatic and other kinds of internet sites. You can also find, I think, way back there on the KFNX archives, the Von Wiegand Show somewhere, but we're on the internet. But when you go to gab.com, I encourage you all to go there. It's the new place for the middle to right wing in this country, and you find the Von Wiegand Show. It says this. I wrote it myself. Hope you like it. Barbarian Talk Radio for the American people and the world. Speaking truth to power. The Jedi Master of GI politics. Apollo Sun God with Thor by my side. Magical runes light the path. Galactic historian. The more they try to destroy us, the more powerful we will become. Broadcasting from my mountain stronghold in a galaxy far, far away. Thought you'd like that. That's how you're going to find the Von Wien Show. And look, only in America are legal citizens now labeled racists and Nazis, God forbid, by our government. But illegal aliens that come across the border that are flown in from Afghanistan are called, quote-unquote, dreamers. Now, a lot of rhino talk show hosts around the country, I told you before, they have a teleprompter, they have program directors, millions of dollars in corporate sponsors. We don't have any of that. Though this show is well written, it's all in my mind. This is radio theater for the mind. And I just talk. And together, we are very formidable and very smart. Now, a planned giveaway of $85 billion of your tax money, military arsenal, and equipment was given to the Taliban this past week and ISIS. Now they call it ISIS-K. Is that for corrupt? I'm not sure. But this corrupt administration just armed America's mortal enemies. Now, a man wrote the show and said this: our complicit military should be storming the White House, arresting Biden and his administration and members of both houses of Congress. They need to all be charged for treason. Well, now that's what a man said, not me. So don't get your facts screwed up there. For the haters of the show, we know you're out there. We know you're listening. We have your ISP address. We will raid your house tonight at 3 a.m. No, just kidding. But one thing I want to tell you about the Middle East, here's a riddle for you, America. I bet some of you might know this, but most of you don't. What do Muammar Gaddafi and Saddam Hussein have in common with each other? If you recall, Muammar Gaddafi was the dictator of Libya, and Hillary laughed about the raid on the Benghazi compound, etc. Saddam Hussein was the ex-dictator of Iraq. But their crime was that they refused to accept American dollars for oil, and their central banks of the Rothschild family and others were not allowed to come into the country. And the central banks that they did have were not owned by the elites of the Rothschilds or other tier one families of the world. Therefore, Saddam was hanged and Gaddafi was first tortured and then shot by a violent mob. This is the real world that we live in. This is why I call it a world at war on each radio show. Also, I will go further down the rabbit hole. The reason why we went into Libya and Iraq and then Afghanistan is because there is much conjecture that they had stargates to the galaxy, ancient stargates. And we'll get into that tonight, as well as other things. But there's always a cover for a war, and they get the grunts to fight it. Then behind the scenes, the CIA, the intelligentsia, other intel officers were scouring the countryside looking for stargates, and they thought they found some in Iraq. They thought they found some in Libya and some in Afghanistan. There's a lot of projects that our government has been involved in. There's Project Looking Glass to see the future. There's Project Mockingbird, the CIA project, to have all the media parrot each other. So they all say the same thing, so you never quite know what's up, and you never quite know the real truth. That's about the summation of all that. There's also, there was the Montauk chair, and there was the time travel experiments, the Philadelphia experiment back in World War II off the coast of New York, and the list goes on and on, from the MK Ultra program to the CIA psychedelic drugs used in the 1960s. Our government has always been extremely interested from the 1947 Roswell crash onward about space travel, time travel, portals, dimensions, galactic travel, and these stargates. It's very, very amazing stuff once you dig into it. Well, a perspective from a retired CIA officer tonight, He says, we're at a point, at least at the level of Biden and his cabinet, that we have to start seriously considering that what we are seeing in the world and in the news are deliberate actions, what have I told you before, planned deliberate actions on the part of the Biden regime to harm America. We have to entertain the possibility that we have a guy in the White House who is playing for the other side, that he is completely bought and paid for, that he's a shill and a bought and paid for product of one or even several hostile foreign governments dead set against America and its people. While Biden cries, our troops get slaughtered. While Biden cries, the enemy is laughing at America. Biden gives the enemies, the arch enemies of this country, billions of dollars in free weaponry, yet he wants to restrict and severely restrict our gun rights here at home. Get out of town, Joe Biden. You are clearly unfit for higher office, and you are an utter national disgrace. And I would tell you that to your face if I ever saw you, caught you in Arizona. We have certainly had, if you look at the news and what's all the craziness, it's so bad, it's virtually laughable. We've had enough of him and the other bastard senators and congressmen, cabinet members and joint chiefs, so-called generals. All must go now and face the consequences of some of their traitorous actions, in my view, against this nation and its people. Here's how it cuts, folks. Any country without its historical memory is nothing but a zombie nation. Deleting the past destroys the future. With left-wing militant extremists driving political debate inside America, with the K and destroying monuments, attacking free speech, and censoring everything that displeases the Twitter Taliban and the cancel culture mobs, and the real America is on the path toward communist-style tyranny in due time. Our enemies want a total revision, we all know this, of real American history and a forceful implementation of Marxist / progressive / socialist values, if you want to call it that. And mark my words, all of this will take place in the United States if the current political momentum continues unchecked and unabated. The United States is now close to 30-plus trillion in debt, depending on whose graph you look at. Our interest rates will not remain low forever, especially if the inflation continues to increase, which is a virtual certainty given the Biden-Democrat plan to double or triple government spending. When rates rise, paying for this massive debt will be much, much costlier. The short-sightedness of politicians on both sides of the aisle is steering the American economy like a freight train off the tracks, and they call it modern monetary theory. I thought you'd find that funny as I did, which is just a fancy name for government-mandated communism and socialism. Get prepared now for all eventualities and for all and in all facets of your life. They say on the radio each week, we have no clue what is coming down the pike, but we definitely know the powers that be are up to something very sinister and nefarious. The powerful elites are bringing America's enemies home to roost. They want these military-age men as refugees and rape-fugees, what's called on the internet, to attack your neighborhood, your family, your friends. In due time, it might very well happen. Does it sound far-fetched to you? Sound too crazy? Well, just sit back And I would advise you to watch this play act out. We are watching a movie. We are watching a play. The final acts have not come on yet. But be prepared for any eventuality. Because you now can't say, Mr. and Mrs. America, that you weren't told. Well, gosh, we have a big show tonight, folks. Again, our VIP guests are in the green room, the radio green room, I call it, waiting to come out. And I think you'll really enjoy them. But first, we've got some promos we're going to play you. And I think you'll like these.
We come from way out past Alpha Centauri. And as we're here on planet Earth observing your ways, we're listening to the Von Weehan Show. It's on the Internet Radio Galaxy.
Absolutely. And we have a lot of folks that give information and give intel to the show and even promos, and we really, really appreciate it.
Von is on, so join him on the radio airwaves as he broadcasts on Internet radio. It's exploding. It is the Von Weehan Show, and he's on Thursday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. The mission is to be there without excuse. We'll see you there.
Guy sounds just like Gordon Liddy back in the day. I love it. Well, look, I would say this to the Joint Chiefs of Staff, our Joint Chiefs. Don't worry, generals. We can always invade Iran per the Pentagon war game, then implement your critical race theory and diversity into our battle ranks and plans. That is exactly what they seem to want to do. Pretty crazy. The world right now is experiencing a massive globalist red pill awakening. After 20 years, trillions of dollars, thousands of American deaths and wounded, loss of limbs, chronic PTSD, depression, military families torn apart, and multiple daily suicides, I'm not quite sure we're better off than before we were. Right before 9/11, or even the day after 9/11, I think we're worse off in many ways. The criminal globalists have been running amok from George Bush to Barack Obama and everyone in between, including Biden, to include the current occupant in the White House. And they have shown the world that they have abandoned our allies, they have abandoned Americans, they've abandoned our friends, and they have befriended our enemies, all while getting rich off our blood like the political vampires that they are, and endangering our security while creating the world's first Islamic superstate in Afghanistan. Think about that. We just emboldened the Taliban. That army right now is one of the most powerful armies in that part of the world, the Taliban. And we have given them $88+ billion in military hardware, millions of rounds of ammo, tens of thousands of automatic machine guns, Black Hawk helicopters, Humvees, armored personnel carriers, trucks, you name it, they got it. Stinger missiles, mortars. Yeah, well, that's going on. I told folks before, in my view, this is all planned. They're setting up a template. It's the perfect excuse to go back to Afghanistan in 6 more months once everything sort of dies off, pun intended, and lays low. They'll claim Americans now are tortured and that once the Taliban will be encouraged to take out the Americans hiding in Kabul, and they'll have some real executions that will be broadcast all around the world. They'll gin up public sentiment. They will play with your feelings and your fears, and they'll say, you know, we've got to do something about it. We've got to take a stand, and we've got to go back. The people demand it, right? And when you demand it, when you tell them we're going back into Afghanistan, and they're going to reinvent the war like it never happened. Because we started in 2001, for 9/11, the Taliban were in charge, and we said we're going to remove them from power. We leave in 2021, at the midnight hour, the Taliban are still in power. We accomplished absolutely nothing. But I will say a lot of people made a lot of money. Now, a lot of people have asked me, why are all these guys there in Kabul, the contractors, et cetera? I've got a little story for you. I was offered a contractor job years ago during the Iraq War. I was going to do things for the U.S. government, logistics, et cetera, and work in Baghdad. And they pay very, very well. I can see why those guys in Kabul stayed, but it's not worth your life. They wanted to bill every last hour in Kabul. That's why there were hundreds and maybe thousands of contractors that were there, and they should have got out months ago. Because right now you're screwed if you did not get out early. But I was offered a job like that back in the day in Iraq, and I asked them one question: can you guarantee my personal safety? Will I be surrounded by an army wherever I go? And they said no. In fact, you'd be going into Baghdad with a Humvee with three or four Marines around you to inspect the bomb damage, et cetera, and do other things for the U.S. government. And I said, I'm not taking the job. They went, no one tells us no. I said, I just did. I said, it's not worth my life. And I am correct, because over the years, thousands of contractors have been killed over in Iraq and over in Afghanistan and other places they've been killed. I said, if I can stay in headquarters surrounded by an army and Black Hawk helicopters, I'll go. If not, if the job entails me to go out there into the suburbs and the mean streets of Baghdad or Kabul, you got to be crazy that you're just asking for problems. You're asking for trouble. And I said, no, it's not worth it, you know. So I made the right choice. But again, in life, guy, it's not always about the money. You got to think about yourself and your personal safety. The almighty dollar, though, is very mucho, mucho importante to me, does not dictate my life. Your life comes first, and then your family and your country and God's number one, of course. But the almighty dollar is not numero uno. I don't care what they say. You need it, but be careful about the jobs that you take. So a lot of those people, my point is, in Kabul, that did not get out, it is true, a lot of them screwed themselves. They were too greedy, and that's really, they did not get out in time. Now, they knew for months and months and months that this was going to happen, and there was every indication it was going to happen. If they waited and stayed, though it's very sad that those people went, it is what it is. But we haven't heard the last of that. I still hope that our country has clandestine missions to get them all the hell out of Afghanistan, out of Kabul. As for the California school children that went over there, we just have to give them our thoughts and prayers. Hope they can all get out, that all good people can get out. What an ill-timed school field trip to a war zone. I still shake my head about that. Whoever decided on that one should be shot. That is absolutely the most stupidest trip I ever heard about in my life. But supposedly, these California kids are still over there from a middle school, I believe 24 of them. Unbelievable. Well, we got a show ready for you guys tonight. Buckle up. Put your space helmet on, your space gear. It's Star Wars to the max. We're going to talk about everything as it relates to everything. So glad you're here tonight. It's time to start the show.
Running out.
Are we standing on the edge of tomorrow? Are we standing on the abyss? I think it's the abyss. Now, the stargates of the universe in 2012, it is widely believed in intelligence circles around the world. It's going to blow your mind, folks, but I did hear this in my own circles, that President Barack Hussein Obama himself was teleported to Mars. Yes, the planet of Mars, to meet with an alien delegation running a cooperative research base staffed by both American and alien scientists. That was reported, actually. They say that history is shaped by Project Montauk and the Montauk time travel chair. All presidents get a book of secrets. Now, Project Montauk is said to have helped the Allies win World War II. Did you ever think it was strange how the Nazis were about 100 to 200 years ahead in technology over the Allies and rocketry and UFOs and things of that nature, yet they lost the war? Well, supposedly, President Roosevelt, and they used a earlier version of Project Montauk and the chair to go into the future and find out the German battle plans. And they came back and told the Allied generals, we have great intelligence for you. Now, that is folklore, but there's a lot of circumstantial evidence that points that could have happened. It is kind of strange how the Allies turned the tide very quickly in World War II. Thanks, they say, to intelligence spies and officers sent into the future or back in time, however you want to look at it. That was because of time travelers bringing back information to President Roosevelt about German and Japanese plans. Also, it also helped the U.S. triumph in the Cold War against the Soviet Union. The secret work of American time-traveling spies, changing the past, they say, to correct future mistakes or to eliminate potential threats. You've all heard of the Philadelphia experiment where they transported an American ship, the USS Eldridge, around the world. And when they found it, the American sailors, unfortunately, were metastasized into the steel hull of the ship. They made several movies about that, actually. You can look those up. The CIA, as I told you before, had government mind control projects. Project Stargate was a remote viewing program. They had a group of people to become very powerful psychics in this program, and the government actually had some success with it. In 1995, I was watching these hearings on TV under President Clinton when they talked about these very powerful CIA psychic programs. Very interesting. Now, Montauk, New York is where the Montauk chair and operation was, those kind of mind control experiments. And Operation Paperclip was bringing back Nazi scientists from Europe back into America. And the Nazi scientists who were working on this in the Third Reich actually were working for the CIA and our government when they were brought over via Operation Paperclip. And the people that were in that said that there were Nazi German-speaking scientists who were working in there. Very interesting. Well, all that's going on, fast forward to a few years ago, a second face has been found on the planet Mars. So, folks, there is much out there. So many things we still don't understand. I believe that some good people, some truth seekers can go to amazing times and places. And some people have even gone, I believe, to parallel worlds. Incredible, yes, but so many more people have these experiences each year, incredible experiences, and things are definitely changing and moving at a faster pace, I think, sometimes than you realize. So more and more people are having more intense Stargate-type experiences every year. It is freaky about even what Nostradamus had to say about Russia and China and the depopulation of the world, the New World Order. The time period is spot on. America is in turmoil. It's a freaky psychological psyop that seems to be going on, and we're all in it for one hell of a ride. You know, is it possible that all this was going on at the same time. Well, we'll talk about all that and more. Let's bring on our VIP guests, Paul the Gladiator and Kim the True Seeker. To whet your appetite a little bit, and we'll bring them on now. Paul the Gladiator, how are you doing, sir?
Good, man. How are you?
Good, good. We've gotten you and Kim there, right?
That's, yep.
How's it going?
Great. Well, the floor is yours. Where would you guys, I kind of set up the pins here. Which ones do you want to delve into and knock down and explore further?
Well, the
floor
you
is
what,
yours.
Well, we're going to start with the how Stargates would actually be a reality. So
okay.
I'm going to start with the Milky Way galaxy, okay? Because
okay.
It's somewhat understandable by everybody, so let's just start there. So in the Milky Way galaxy, there are 400 million known stars in our galaxy, okay? So mm-hmm. If you think about 400 million stars, I'm going to break it down real simple. The estimate is about 1% of those stars have an exoplanet surrounding the star, the sun, similar to Earth. Exoplanets, basically just like Earth, have water and air. So let's scratch the 400 million out and go 4 million stars have a planet just like Earth. And we'll just say there's one planet per star just like Earth, okay? The closest mm-hmm. star to us is Alpha Centauri. It's the third brightest star in our Earth sky. It consists of Rigel Centaurus and Toloman. That's A and B. Rigel Centaurus is A, Toloman's B, and they have a gravitational bond together, okay?
Mm-hmm.
These two stars, these two suns, they orbit a common mass every 80 years. And they have a planet there that is 42 times the distance that our Earth is to our sun. But if you keep in mind, this is a double star, so the heat content is 9, 10, 11 times the brightness and heat that our sun is, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that one planet could easily be this heavenly body, okay? So if we go back in our own Earth's history of civilizations, you know, 5 to 10,000 years ago, this Greek civilization was talking about this god of lightning, Zeus, that came down from the heavens, okay? And then mm-hmm. in the Roman Empire, 2,000 years ago up to 500 AD, they were talking about this god by the name of Jupiter, god of sky and thunder, who came down from the quote-unquote heavens again. And then with the Vikings, we have a god by the name of Odin, who is the god of lightning again, who came down from the quote-unquote heavens, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So bring time forward, Mother Earth, Father Earth, from the heavens for the Mayans, and they came around every 250 years to visit the Mayans. And then you have this unique gentleman by the name of Gabriel, who was an archangel. All archangels came from quote-unquote heaven, okay? They all came down on chariots of fire, right? And, you know, Jesus used to speak of his father who came from heaven. Gabriel came down in the chariot of fire described by Mary to the apostles. Then he came down in the chariot of fire to visit with her, okay?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
All right, so all these civilizations have this term, the heavens, heaven. So what if Gabriel came from that planet around Alpha Centauri that has water and air just like Earth? And what if everybody on that planet called their planet heaven like we call our planet Earth? Wouldn't it make sense that Jesus would be talking as a 6-7-year-old inside the synagogue that his father came from heaven? And my
yeah,
father who
exactly.
right? And
mm-hmm,
wouldn't it be also kind of agreeable that with a super smart dad who's an alien astronaut who followed in other people's footsteps from that planet to visit Earth, he would be pretty super smart, and he would beget a child that would be super smart as well. So being the smartest person on the planet, you know, Jesus kind of freaked everybody out with his knowledge base, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that gets us up to, you know, B.C. and A.D., okay? Then you have the mm-hmm. stargates we found, the stargates that were found down in Antarctica where the Nazis supposedly took their bell tower trips to.
Right.
And then you have other stargates in Hawaii and other islands around our planet. Well, then people could travel back and forth from, quote-unquote, somewhere pretty easily.
Yep.
Okay, and then that brings us up to like more of a modern day, right, from the Nazis forward,
mm-hmm.
and Tim and I were looking up the year 1945, which has a lot of references from the atomic bomb that was laid off at Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and then what has happened
yes.
from that. So from that point, Tim's going to take over and kind of talk about things that have happened from that point on.
Very cool.
So, the atomic bomb has come up several times during my research. One of the times that it has come up was with Dolores Cannon, and I think she spoke about this in the 1990s. And what she has said, and this is actually very widely accepted, is that when she was hypnotizing a lot of her patients, that they kept feeling that they didn't come from here. What she ended up finding out over many years through thousands of patients, that there was a call put out into the universe. And this was after the first atomic bomb. The other star races, star families, planets in the galaxy, they were floored when that first atomic bomb went off. Well, I guess it was in 1945. They didn't realize that we had that kind of technology here. The problem is that the whole galaxy felt that because it's a cosmic web in the galaxy with all of the planets. We're all connected. So they had an interest in this, and they said Earth is in trouble. And this is another thing, Vaughn, that many truthers right now are speaking about openly. It's becoming a little bit more commonplace. It wasn't a year ago, but it is now. That there are, okay, so they put out a call to all these different higher dimensional frequency beings saying Earth is in trouble. We need volunteers to go to Earth. Why? Because Earth has such a low frequency, dark planet, because it's ruled by these draconian reptilians. So all of these beings incarnated here. It started in the late 1950s. That was the first wave, and it was tough. A lot of them they committed suicide. They couldn't take it here. And then they had a second wave that came in, I want to say the 80s. It went a little bit better. And then they had a third wave that came in the 90s. Hence, you see the vaccine schedule significantly up in the 1990s, right? So now we went from, in 10 years, we went from one in every 10,000 children with autism to now we are at one in 35 kids with autism.
Yeah, it's crazy.
In 10 years. But they're saying in the 1990s they sent through these were really special kids. They call them indigo children. And as a matter of fact, you guys, they have somebody right now who's a special teacher who's dealing with some of the like what you would call the fourth wave. They got another wave coming in here right now. And these kids, they're 5 years old, and they're saying, I'm not from here. And they're telling about where they came from and why they are here. And the parents are floored. They said, we have no idea how our child is why our child is saying these things. Can you please help us and tell us what's going on? Yeah, this is really happening. Okay,
wow.
So 1945, that bomb that went off. Okay, so here's the other thing. This is when the off-worlders had to intervene. Because this gets blown up here, it's going to affect the universe. They had to get involved, but they had to get permission. And I think they really got the green light from JFK. I think this is when it all started. This is Q. Okay, this is what it is. And so the other thing, I'm not entirely sure, but I am kind of sure. I think the Kennedy family has the Jesus strand is what they're calling it. I got to look into it a little bit more. The Trump.
Yeah, I've heard that before. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm sorry, the Kennedy sons. Okay, so now we got both Kennedy sons talking to the truthers, and they are telling everything right now. I cannot even believe it. Yeah,
yeah,
we got two of them. So, go ahead.
And, you know, when I was younger in college, my summers were spent on Martha's Vineyard as a lifeguard. And we always we used to hang out at South Beach with all the Kennedy family. You know, we would play football at midnight on the beach and drink kegs, right? So they were always talking about the fraternal and maternal sides of their family, and how the fraternal side came from Ireland. But on the maternal side of their family, they were saying they had French lineage, and how they were always told by the elder Kennedys that French lineage went back to Mary Magdalene and Jesus. And the story was, when they pulled Jesus off the crucifix, that Mary Magdalene brought him into France, and there's actually DNA proof of Magdalene being there, and they have some DNA, you know, in this one little small town where this church was built. This DNA is matching up to the Shroud of Turin. So the blood that's in the Shroud of Turin, they're saying, matches their DNA, which would obviously be Jesus Christ. So, they would always talk about that French lineage that way to Mary Magdalene, which also means that Jesus and Mary must have had children after he healed in France.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's the basis of the Da Vinci Code movies, the lineage of Jesus. I believe there is a lineage. I believe there's. I think a lot of the history that we've been taught, though, there's so many things that we're not taught. It's sort of like the sins of omission, right? There's so many things that we weren't taught that were lost in history or purposely lost, so to kind of blind us, you know. But go on. This is fascinating stuff. I love it.
Okay, so who I think is Patrick Kennedy, so I believe all of the Kennedy children from JFK are alive, and they may have been hidden just because of their connection. I do believe that the cabal knew about this. Okay, all right, and I'm just like kind of losing. Okay, so Patrick Kennedy, so they're talking about Trump. So now they have disclosed, and this is true, that Donald Trump was adopted because his father was General Patton, and the cabal killed General Patton, and they said his mother committed suicide, so you know what that means. The cabal got
she was murdered.
Yeah, so his parents were killed by the cabal. And his birth date, so he was adopted, and I can't be for sure, but I thought they said it was 189 days. So he was 189 days old when he was adopted by the Trump family. And so that means he probably was maybe born in 1945.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, the resemblance of General Patton, Kim, and Paul to Donald Trump is amazing. I don't know how many of you folks have put the photographs up side by side. Donald Trump is a split image of General Patton. It's eerie. So I hold what you're saying in very high esteem. I think the same thing.
Did you see in the Alabama rally before Trump came out, it was a 10-minute General Patton speech video.
Yeah.
That Trump played
yeah.
before the Alabama rally. Yeah. So
I
why
think
would
Trump
he play
knows.
A 10-minute? Oh, of course he knows. He's got to know.
He knows.
Yeah.
He knows. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was always kind of murky, Trump's early years. It was always sort of murky. You know, they say, oh, it was the 1930s or 40s, and but really it was just very, very murky. And this little baby, you know, though he looked a little bit like his father, I didn't see a ton of resemblance, to be honest with you, to Mr. Trump Sr. He looks a lot more like General Patton. Totally agree with you. It's amazing stuff.
So we're looking at the first atomic bomb, 1945. So Trump was likely born really in 1945, and he was the 45th president. So everything goes by numbers. So it's all falling in line. And I think that first atomic bomb, you know, thank God they did it, because you guys were talking about Stargates. Well, one of the things that I think happened to humanity to have them kind of infiltrated by the reptilians is that they didn't have the portals in the Stargates. They didn't have this planet sealed off. It is now. This planet
mm-hmm.
is under a quarantine. Yeah, nothing can come and go. So this planet just got completely infiltrated. They gave us free will on this planet, but then you can see what has happened. So this stuff, I call it the dancing, you know, humanity was dancing with the cabal. So this, what has been going on, what we see going on right now, this has really been going on for about 1,700 years. So
mm-hmm.
there's millions, they're saying there's millions of us. I think I'm a volunteer. I'm just going to tell you. I told Walter.
I know I am. I totally agree with you. I know I am. I always felt this was, it's really funny. You I love your family, but I always felt as a young kid that I'm on a mission from God, if that makes any sense to you. So, you know, we were all little kids, but I always felt I was here for a mission. I was a soldier
yeah.
and here for a mission. And I would learn it later in life.
They say you
but,
know
but
so
this
when
is
you
great.
Know.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like, you know, let's be honest, our parents could have been seated with us, you
yeah.
know. I mean,
yeah.
kind of like Mary in God, you know, in Jesus Christ. Fascinating
yeah.
stuff. But so, Kim, what else do you have for us there? This is very interesting tonight. Love it.
Okay, so, all right, you ready for this one?
Bring it on me. I'm ready.
They said our population is 8 million. I have been hearing for like maybe a year and a half, 4.5 billion, about half of what they said. But, of course, they had to put out that narrative because they keep telling humans, it's overpopulated, quit having babies. We want humans to get the heck out of here, right? It's about
right,
4.5 million. So what were they doing? So, and this is coming from a federal postal judge, is that they, you know, they turned all of us into fake corporations, and that's how they did contract with us. So they basically founded that fake entity. So they basically doubled our population. Falsely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Softly,
so there's
right.
There's really not that many people here, and humanity has been basically disappearing, but not anymore. So this is really important. So I do believe disclosure is coming very soon. So I believe
mm-hmm.
what I've been calling the movie to try to wake up
yeah.
the masses, the armies, I do believe that is getting ready to conclude. Yeah, we're at the end,
wow.
and there's and we do have 9/11 coming, and there's just some other little events that has happened that's telling me that we're getting very close. And I will have a list. There is 34 satanic structures or buildings that the rods of God are going to be taking down, and I'm pretty certain on this. I wouldn't say it if I wasn't. That's going to be coming soon.
Good.
Yeah. And
good.
This is all.
Yeah, arsenic buildings, absolutely, that have been put up by those demonic groups around the world. That's their own portals to the universe, to the dark side. Correct.
Yep. Yeah. And they are sealing off a lot of the portals. You know, a lot of that is being taken care of. The sun was a portal?
Yes.
So they were coming through the sun. Yeah, it's all been blocked. So when a lot of those reptilians were trying to escape, they can't escape. There was no getting out of here. Yeah, this is good news, though. This is good news. We had to. So our white hats have been very busy. So
they have.
Good stuff is coming, everybody, but they had to show everybody what the playbook was. So we're seeing it right now.
And, you know, another thing about 1945, so this year keeps coming up from the atomic bombs. The United States Air Force, conducted research on a Stargate that was brought from Egypt to the United States, basically because in 1939 they didn't want the Nazis to have it. And
right.
So they brought it to the U.S. And then Dr. Ernest Littlefield was the gentleman that was studying the gate. He stepped through the gate and disappeared. He came back and said he went to a place called Heliopolis. He stepped in the gate at 1945, came back in 1997, so 52 years later.
Wow.
Yeah, and then the gate was stored upright in a warehouse in D.C. There's been an alpha gate and a beta gate. And now the Stargate has been stored in Cheyenne Mountain.
Yes.
So that's where it is now. And there's and that's the Stargate. There's star portals like in Hawaii and down at Antarctica, but they're not visible to everybody, only to the enlightened that actually know where to go there and actually use them. So, again, I mean, I just go back to our own galaxy, which is pretty ridiculous to think that out of 400 million suns that we call stars, that people can't imagine that there'd be multiple planets. I mean, let's call it seven, just to be ridiculous, right? Seven.
Well, there definitely is.
You know, and it should be 40,000 that have water and air. So let's just say it's four. Well, how much older can those planets be around those suns versus us? What if they're 10,000 years older? Or what if they're 100,000 years older? What if they're like a million years older than Earth? How much more advanced would they have to be, right? I mean, they would use not 3% of their brain, but 97% of their brain, right? So, you know,
right.
It's just ridiculous to think that that does not exist, you know, especially when
I totally agree with you.
Yeah, the age of our galaxy is 4.5 to 5 billion years, just our own galaxy. Forget the universe. So it'd be easy for the planet to be 250,000 years older and more advanced than us, you know. Like, what have we done in the last 70 years? You know, we've gone from driving in cars to having billionaires go up in space in their own ship. And that's just 70 years. What could we do in 200,000 or 300,000 or 400,000 years, you know?
It all started in World War II and really prior, but right around World War II was where we saw an explosion of technology. And then, yeah, since the Roswell crash in 1947 especially, you're right, Paul. I mean, you know, the level of technology that we've gotten in the span of, you know, barely a lifetime, 80 years, is amazing. Rocket travel, fiber optics, all kinds of technology and cars and things for healthcare and medicine. It's just amazing, man. Look at our laptop computers, man. You know, just the laptop. That looks like an alien device. Our cell phones, yeah. Those were things in Star Trek, the 1960s. The flip phone, you know, that Captain Kirk used to use.
Our cell phones can actually, you can actually make a movie of better quality with our cell phones now than they made in the year 2000. And our cell phones are just miniature, massive computers at this point. You know, so you don't even need
That's
a
right.
laptop anymore. You can do more on your phone than you can on your laptop, you know.
That's right. And the thing they always used to get me was there's these ancient carvings, you know, out there in Babylon and ancient Egypt. And on a couple of them, I've seen them actually. Not, of course, not in person, but on the internet, where it shows a little boy with a laptop presenting it to, like, the pharaoh. Now, I mean, it looks just – and it's so detailed, it even has a USB port. And it was on Ancient Aliens,
right.
that a show. And, folks, you can Google this.
Yeah.
It's amazing. There's also depictions and hieroglyphics of things that look like a flip phone or a communicator – you know, or a cell phone that are on those walls in Egypt in the pyramids. And that's, we all know the pyramids was after it was, you know, built after the constellation Orion. So it's amazing.
So how about Anubis being ripped apart and put back together like a robot by his jealous brother in the Egyptian hieroglyphics?
Yes.
Where his body was torn apart, thrown all over Egypt,
mm-hmm.
and Anubis's wife put him back together, and it shows body parts being put that back together. But in the end, it looks like a Tesla coil, the way they depict Anubis instead of the jackal face. He then had a Tesla coil type body of electricity, which would basically.
That's right.
Esteem a robot in the Egyptians' minds, right?
Yeah. And if you were a poor Egyptian, you know, working along the Nile at like slave wages, right, you would see this thing walk and you would call it a god. It had superior intelligence. It would be your pharaoh, your god. And the computations that those pharaoh robots could have done, not all of them were, of course, robots, but this one that you're talking about was. I think that, you know, the Egyptians always talked about the star people coming down, much like the Mayans and the Aztecs and all those ancient cultures. And what used to get me as a kid was, why do you have pyramids at about the same latitude all around the world?
Yeah. Right.
You can just draw lines around the globe and you'll see them all over the world.
Yeah. And then why do the grounds of all these pyramid developments from the Incas to the Mayans to the Egyptians, why when you look at all the pyramids and the streets that lined them together, why do they look like motherboards of our modern day computers? And why are there tunnels? Yeah, and there are tunnels underneath the Mayan and Inca pyramids that link them all together with shiny lava rock that actually can project electrical current.
Yeah, yeah.
So that is actually a motherboard of computing, but then they have these areas that are missing something, and there's remnants of gold dust, actually gold, because gold conducts electricity. And if you look at our rocket ships, our shuttles, the space station, everything is operated by gold, which is exactly what was mined for, you know, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of years by alien astronauts off our planet so that they would have enough gold to actually operate their computers and chariots of fire, which was basically their rocket ships. The way we control ours, with gold running all the electricity.
Absolutely. God. Fascinating stuff, gang. I love it. It's, my God. Well, one story, too, I'll impart to you is, you know, the astronauts of NASA would always say, you know, we've talked about the story when they landed on the moon, allegedly, to some people, that there were aliens there, and they were giving them, kind of glaring at them, giving them the cold shoulder at one of the craters, and they quickly left. You noticed our astronauts did not stay long. Now, people claim there's NASA videos of the all these UFOs. What one of the guys, it wasn't an astronaut, it was one of the Air Force guys that worked at NASA, said the UFOs actually escorted, in a nice way, the U.S. spaceship away from their moon base. And that's why you see all these UFOs during the 1969 moon mission. They were telling them to get the heck off our planet, and we're going to escort you back to Earth, and don't you ever come back. Wild stuff. I mean, we go down these rabbit holes, and these people are getting older and older, right? And a lot of them are on their deathbed now, and the revelations coming out, whether you believe them or not, pretty amazing, because some of these people can name dates and times, so they have credibility. And when people go back and research when they were working at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory or NASA or Area 51, you got Bob Lazar, who was talking about the UFOs back in the 80s. I remember watching him on those news magazine shows, and I was fascinated as a kid watching this guy who used to talk about, he said, we have several UFOs that we're reverse engineering, and we have aliens on ice, or just a really, really wild stuff. What is your final thoughts to the galaxy and the cosmos in America tonight?
I want to say something about the moon first.
Sure.
So if everybody realizes when you look up at the moon, why is it that that body does not rotate on its own axis? Why are we always looking at the face of the moon? It never hits, okay? So it's natural in our universe, if you study Stephen Hawking or Albert Einstein, that any body in motion stays in motion until acted upon by another body, okay? So if anything is out in space, it's going to naturally rotate because it's being gravitationally pulled by another body. If this planet Earth were to grab a moon, like on Neptune and Jupiter, which has multiple moons, where those moons actually rotate in a circular axisal motion, like the Earth does, we travel at 2,000 miles per hour on an axis because we're gravitationally pulled in by the sun. So if we could hold a body in orbit to our Earth, it would have to naturally have a rotation because we have a rotation. Our rotation would influence their rotation. So why is it that why are we staring at the man in the moon all the time? That means somebody's controlling that, like an Empire Strikes Back planet, right, that was built to actually always face the Earth, always the same direction, constantly never turning on its axis. So that would give you the first clue on an intellectual basis that that is not a real organic body in this galaxy.
Correct.
It is an actual man-made satellite, and that's why they told the U.S. never come to the dark side of the moon again. That's where they come in to sit without our viewing them coming in, because the moon blocks our view of the backside.
That's right.
Where they travel in from.
Yep.
Okay?
That's where the base is on the backside. Absolutely.
Moon.
That is correct.
Yeah. And that's why when you see the videos, of, one small step for mankind, that was a studio, because you don't even see
400 million stars behind him in the background when he's landing on the moon and stepping down on the dust.
Right.
And then why does when he stepped down, why does the dust go up, down, like sand on a beach? Because if there's no gravity on the moon, it would, when you landed on the dust, it would go up and keep going up in the sky. It would never fall back to the moon. There's no gravity, supposedly. There's no gravity on the moon. So why would
I
in
totally
that
agree.
Video, when you see you know, them landing with their feet and the dust goes up and down, that means gravity. Well, that would be Earth in a movie, you know, movie set theater, rather than up at the moon where that dust would just keep going out into space. You know,
it would be. And the more you look at that moon landing, I mean, the more I look at it, it does look like a 2001 A Space Odyssey. It looks more and more like a Hollywood movie set with our trained eye. When you're a kid, when you're younger, you think, yeah, we really went there. I think we eventually went to the moon. I do. But not, I'm not saying, I just don't think it happened when they said, because we barely had the technology of doing air conditioning in cars in 1969. How can we possibly bring a man, you know, quarter of a million miles to the moon and safely back to Earth? I mean, we were still struggling with television, for God's sake. I mean, seriously, dental work, heart surgery. We were pioneering lots of different industries.
Look, they didn't
and to
even
say that
create
we could
the
rocket and go to the moon is almost preposterous.
Yeah, in 1960s, they were struggling with making a beer keg that had a tap to go on top of it. Forget about going to the moon. Yeah,
exactly. That's why I think we went there eventually. It could have been mid to late 70s, maybe 80s. But I always tell folks this. We definitely launched a rocket in 1969, the Saturn V, which was really a Nazi rocket based on the V-2 used by the Third Reich against England during World War II. We launched a rocket. I'm not convinced all the astronauts were on it. I'm not convinced that rocket went to the moon. But what we saw was video on TV of a Hollywood movie set showing the world that we went there. And don't forget, if that could have been the greatest psyop of all time, because that was the height of the Cold War against Russia. And we convinced Russia that we went to the moon, which freaked them out. Freaked them out. I think it gave us the edge on the geopolitics scale of the world, you know?
So, Vaughn, to add to that, this is some interesting information that I actually just learned.
Yeah.
So the mass that we see on the moon, so I believe like that what we're seeing is like that's plasma. So you see land map, or you see like a design on that, of what we see on the moon, right?
Right.
You see that there's dark spots. Well, you know what? That's a reflection of the planet. That's a reflection of the land mass on Earth, okay? So if you look at the moon and then you look at Earth, there's a whole lot of land that we never knew about. We're about ready to find out.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
I want to thank you both for being here, our VIP guests tonight, folks, Paul the Gladiator and Kim the Truth Seeker. Thank
one
you so
thing.
Much, gang. One last thing.
Yeah,
go for
one
it.
One last thing. So if in 1969 we sent a rocket ship, a rudimentary rocket ship to the moon, why didn't any of the space shuttles that was a space airplane supposedly, why didn't that space airplane called the space shuttles, any of those, why didn't they ever just go fly over to the moon and say hello? That would have been the easiest trip going.
That's right.
Right?
Well, that's for another show. You know, no, that's a whole other rabbit hole that we could dive into. And we'll have you both back for sure. Okay? Definitely.
Thank you. All right,
man.
Thank you, Paul the Gladiator. Thank you, Kim the Truth Seeker. Love you both. Great show. Great call. Very informative. Love it, gang. Thanks so much.
All right. We're an official gang now.
Yes, we are an official gang. We are. In March 19th, 2003, the United States military began its shock and awe military campaign, if you all recall, over the city of Baghdad, Iraq. Now, we said they had weapons of mass destruction. Were they really stargates? You know, our VIP callers, and I brought it up earlier in the monologue, and we had Paul the Gladiator and Kim the Truth Seeker talk about that, and they're right. There's a lot of strange things associated with that. Saddam Hussein, if you recall back during the war, and he spoke of himself in high regard, like he always said to people, he was the reincarnated Nebuchadnezzar, the dictator of ancient Babylon. He believed he was a great Babylonian king. His armies back in the day, back in that ancient time, conquered Egypt, and they also ransacked Solomon's temple in modern-day Israel. In Jerusalem. It is also widely believed in intelligence circles that Saddam Hussein had acquired a Stargate, a portal, if you will. And this is the weapon of mass destruction that President Bush was really talking about. Everyone thought it was nuclear, but Bush never said it was nuclear. He hinted at it. It could have been biological. He said it could be nuclear. Or it could be a Stargate. Could something of great significance have been found in the Iraqi desert during the war? I think so. It was a great cover to go in there. They'll go in, always the American forces, right to give liberty and freedom to people. BS. We don't give a rat's ass about liberty and freedom for Iraq or Afghanistan or anywhere. We go in for other nefarious covert purposes, perhaps trying to acquire and get a portal or a Stargate, which are two really separate things, to another world. Now, we talked about NORAD tonight. As you know, it's based in Cheyenne Mountain in Colorado. There is a door there marked Stargate Command inside NORAD. But what most people don't know, because they kept asking the NORAD people during the tours what is in there, they actually labeled, this is kind of a joke, the janitor closet as Stargate Command inside the Air Force Base there in Cheyenne Mountain. But I do believe there is a real Stargate Command, real office in there. I think that's their misnomer, if you will, for the public. Remember the laws of physics. A body in motion tends to stay in motion, and a body at rest tends to stay at rest. Well, having said that, take a break, take a rest, folks. I shall be back after we've talked about this. We talked about the galaxy. I need a drink and a cocktail. And I shall return with my .45 caliber by my side just in case the space troopers come through the door of the studio gates. We will fend them off and all alien forces. I shall return. Fantastic show tonight and a great call from our two VIP guests.
Gone. In
Yes. Are you caught in the shadow of love or on the abyss of the new world? We'll get to your new calls to the show here in a moment. I thought you'd enjoy that song. It's by a group called The Damned back in the mid-80s. And with that, let's go to Patrick the Patriot, chomping at the bit in the space galaxy in the space and time continuum. To contact the show, Patrick, are you there tonight?
Good evening, Vaughn.
Good evening, sir. Good to hear your voice. What is going on? Did you hear that VIP call tonight? Wow. Amazing stuff, man.
I did. And I always said the same thing, Vaughn. How did we land on the moon when technology, if you look what technology was like versus 20 years later and 89 and 10 years later in 1999, and how was that? But you know what? It made us feel good, right? Because
exactly,
we don't go to the moon because it is easy. We go because it is hot. Right?
Yeah, that's a great rendition of JFK.
Well, if I can't have her, if my brother Bobby can't have her, my brother Teddy can't have her, and Sergeant Shriver can't have her, then no one can have her.
God, I love that. We don't go to the moon because it's easy. We go because it's hard. JFK said that, and I think it's the greatest CIA psyop in history, personally. Now, I do believe we eventually got there, just not in 1969. We were barely able to make a TV dinner, dude, in aluminum and sell it at the grocery store. We were just experimenting with TV dinners in the 1950s. We barely had colored frickin' television. That came out in the late 60s. We couldn't get – people used to tell me the ACs in cars always used to break down. We had massive problems. Go ahead, Beth.
However, I can tell you, Vaughn, my parents purchased a 1969 Buick Wildcat in August of 69.
Nice.
And that air conditioning was phenomenal. But my dad's 1966 GMC pickup, it was a modified air conditioning unit. It didn't work at all. But fortunately, we were in Northern California where you really don't have to have air conditioning. At least it was
right
back then. Now,
right,
we're not talking about, you know, the hot places. But what's a bigger issue of today is the first Afghan refugees flew into Sky Harbor Airport today.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Over 1,100. And in Texas, my friend said that Catholic Charities brought in, but they were hiding them because he had sent out cameras and reporters to – you know, cover the stories, but they couldn't find him because they hit him.
I'm going to need two or three shots at this desk tonight. This is more and more. Yeah, you're right. Look, it's more and more bad news for America. Look, these Afghans are military-age men, folks. There's very few women and children or old people in the group or young babies. All I saw was young military-age males on those C-130 cargo jets coming out of Afghan airport. I mean, these guys are rocking ready for war. Many of them said they were Taliban. They were Afghan army or militia. You better be careful on these military bases, guys. They're coming, and also they're coming to Texas, Arizona, Wisconsin, And I believe even New Jersey, I heard.
New Jersey and Virginia.
Crazy. Yep. Yep.
My friend and I in Texas have a bet, and when we see the first homeland attack.
Oh, it's coming. It's coming. It's what they want. The elites want them to attack America. They want these. They want chaos. The New World Order, as many of you may or may not know, it's order out of chaos. And the more chaos, the better they like it. Chaos in the economy, chaos in our military, chaos in the Kabul airport, chaos in geopolitics, chaos at the border. You name it. They love it.
You name it. They got it. And Vaughn, the thing I was laughing about today is because of Hurricane Ida, right, how she went up across the Tennessee Valley in the Northeast.
Yeah.
And then they go, oh, that's all due to global warming. And it's like, really? Do you not know anything about weather cycles and whatever else? I mean, come on, they were having hurricanes in the 1800s. Was that caused by global warming?
Right. Exactly, man. Even Christopher Columbus had hurricanes when he was going across the Atlantic to the New World. He talked about them in his journals. You know, he had a daily diary. He also saw UFOs that came out of the ocean, and he documented it. One of the first UFO researchers, and he was talked about on the Ancient Alien show on the History Channel. Christopher Columbus saw glowing. He saw glowing orbs. He saw things that darted across the sky. And can you imagine? I mean, going from Europe to America back then would have been like going to the moon. My God, the distance of sea travel. God. And not knowing, and back then they thought there were sea monsters, and I believe there used to be sea monsters. There probably still are out there in the depth. Every now and then, I always used to love these things. They'll pull up things, Patrick, these fishermen. And the stuff they dredge from the bottom of the ocean is amazing. You go, what the hell is that? It's like some of these pictures are like from another world. I mean, fish that have a tail like a cat, a face like a dog, and sharp teeth like a bear or a shark, and paws. Not fins, actual, like they were walking on the bottom of the ocean. I mean, I saw one the other day taken by these guys off the coast of Brazil. God. And it wasn't doctored. It was, I went ahead and vetted it, but crazy stuff. We don't know. We know more about the moon, if we even know more about that, than our own oceans. You know.
I have heard that.
That's the big, big mystery.
Going on. Yeah. Well, here's a good one I heard today, Vaughn. Just throw a little humor in there. Joe Biden is like a web browser with 19 tabs open. 17 are frozen, and he doesn't know where the music is coming from.
That's great. Oh, isn't he a piece of work? Oh, my God. He's the installed president. He's bought and paid for. He doesn't. He, you know, if we could ever get to the moon, we need to put Biden on the moon. Because if we went to the moon in 1965, look, we didn't even have the personal Apple computer, dude, until about a decade later in the late 90s. And that was a
Commodore's. You remember the Commodore 64?
Yeah.
Computer?
It just,
it's just, but then, in fact, I was thinking about writing a book today about technology, and I probably shouldn't say the name of it because, you know, if people like something, they take it away. That's why they have trademarks. That's why they have copyrights.
Right.
People steal intellectual property.
Sure they will. I mean, how many people do I hear on the internet that are mimicking my show and mimicking what you guys say, the terms we use, the cutting edge information. I will go to other sites that are, quote unquote, bigger, and they're virtually quoting this show from A to Z. I heard one the other day that was, I could tell the guy listened to my show and took copious notes. Some
well,
rhino talk show host.
They don't have any innovation or creativity. So
right.
What do you do?
We have,
you
I
copy,
have buku
right?
innovation and creativity. Yeah. And I just I mean,
like when,
they always say that imitation is the highest form of flattery, right? So I take it like that,
correct.
But at some point, I'm going, this is so obvious, you know, but crazy, man. Well,
and, you know, think about it, Vaughn. Look how many
show,
spinoffs.
Man.
Somebody comes up with a creative idea for television, then they have spinoffs, right? Spin off the show. Take
That's
a
right.
couple of the great actors and spin off and have another one, see if you can go.
That's right.
You know, here's the thing. We
crazy.
Had that Hurricane Ida. Did you ever see the movie of the week? ABC, they used to have movie of the week. And the reason I remember
so,
this is because William Shatner, Captain Kirk, was in the movie, and it was about Hurricane Camille that hit Biloxi, Mississippi in 1969 as a Category 5.
Yeah. Right. That's right.
Just thank God, Vaughn, that we don't live in that part of Louisiana.
Oh, it's been devastated. I was watching the news this afternoon of all the homes, and you heard about the guy that was killed by the alligator, right?
Mm-mm. That's news to me.
Well, short story is a guy was walking out of his house. He had 4 feet of water out there, and as you well know, that's a reptilian state. There's snakes everywhere. There are alligators everywhere and crocs and all that. So my thing is, the guy walks out, and the alligator allegedly, well, it did. It bit off his arm. He screamed. Now, he's in 4 feet, like, waist-deep water, right? The wife comes out the steps, sees him, tries to, I don't know, they said she tried to fend off the alligator. But it's like, you know, you're not going to be very successful. And the alligator took the guy down in the water, and now they can't find his body. He was eaten by the alligator, and they can't find the alligator. They'll eventually
wow.
find the alligator, and they'll shoot it. Like you saw that show Swamp People on History Channel. There's a reason why we have guns, folks. It's because when you bring an alligator into the boat, it may kill you, and you've got to shoot the alligator in the head to stop its jaws from devouring you, literally. They shoot those bastards.
Wow.
And,
well,
you know,
Vaughn,
I wouldn't go anywhere in Louisiana without a gun.
Yeah.
Put it that
but
way.
As long as you don't take me to a Duck Dynasty marathon watch, I'll be okay. Because the first time I saw it for like 2 minutes, my IQ dropped by 30 points.
Yeah. That's a whole other part of the world. That's why I live out west. But look, our hearts. We have a lot of listeners out there in Louisiana. But tonight they're not hearing us because there's no power.
That's right. There's no power. Last night at a business fixer, I met
from
a
before we've
Purdue
had
Boilermaker.
Mm-hmm.
I met a Purdue Boilermaker because you know you're a famous alumni of the Boilermakers.
Yes, I am. Gosh, Patrick, thanks so much for calling the show, man. Love you, man.
Vaughn, have a blessed night. Stay safe.
Hey, you know it. Thank you, folks. It's Patrick the Patriot, folks. We're going to get to some more calls now, have sort of a round robin here. Let's get to the Gunslinger, and then we'll get to Irish Pirate, and then to Brett the Surfer. Maybe not in that order, but we'll go from there. Gunslinger, how's it going, man?
Oh, it's going pretty
there?
Good here in Texas. Absolutely. I mean, two quick points here. You know that Wednesday, yesterday, was the constitutional carry for Texas. Okay? Finally went into
yes.
law at midnight.
Damn straight.
Thank God.
Great.
Damn straight.
Thank God.
You know, that's great. It's been around 100 years since we've actually had constitutional carry. And back in 1995, when the concealed handgun license was passed, prior to that, people thought that, oh, my God, there's going to be blood in the streets, and it's going to be the Wild West, and it's going to be a shootout at the OK Corral. Guess what? Never happened. Just like
right, because gun people are law-abiding citizens. Keep telling
right.
people that.
Absolutely. Yeah, and
the criminals are the ones that want to shoot it up. Yeah.
Shoot it up. Exactly. Then they said the same thing with the constitutional carry, you know, that took effect yesterday. Oh, my God, we're going to have blood in the streets. We're going to have the shootout at the OK Corral, blah, 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 blah. Guess what?
Mm-hmm.
Peace and quiet. Never happens.
Yep.
So they're completely
exactly.
wrong on all points. Now, for your moon landing and all this stuff, okay, I seen the actual, what was a replica of the ship that went supposedly to the moon and back down here in Houston, Texas. At
okay.
the NASA Center down there. I actually went down there and we seen it. I walked around this thing and I'm sitting there shaking my head. I said, this little thing cannot make it to the moon and back. Okay? Ain't no way.
Exactly.
It's too flimsy. It's too flimsy. And I'm a retired master electrician, electrical contractor, electrical engineer. I'm not stupid. I understand how
you built things before. You know how rigorous
know,
would something have to be to go 250,000 miles through asteroid belts to the moon and back and stay intact?
Yeah. And,
amazing.
And not only that,
no way.
Not only that, but the people inside. Well, you know, when you go get an X-ray on your foot or your leg, I mean, and they put this big heavy thing on your chest. Guess what's in it? Lead. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
When the technician, you know, starts to snap the picture, he steps inside this little deal, which is a lead shielded room. That means it has to
yep.
be protected from the X-rays, which is radiation. Okay. And I'm looking at that little craft, and you have to have at least 2 or 3 feet of lead to protect from the radiation that's out there. How did they do it?
Mm-hmm.
How come they didn't come back French fries?
Well, that's one of the mysteries of space travel. They would say, yeah, I don't see nothing really quite adds up. You can listen to their official propaganda. You know, now I'm not telling folks that we never went to the moon. I believe we eventually got there. I am just not convinced that we got there in 1969. That's my show's position. I do believe we went there. I do believe we got the moon rocks. I do believe a lot of that. I do believe we launched a rocket. I'm not convinced all the astronauts we saw in the video were inside that Saturn V rocket. I believe a lot of that was Cold War stuff. Because in 1969, we had no personal computers. We had large one room, you know, that would take up a whole factory, right? Those kinds of
–
you would have needed a computer of the size of probably the mall or at least half the size of a mall to go to the moon and back and do all the calculations in 1969. You're telling me a little rocket and a little command module did all that?
Yep. Yeah.
And
no.
we could barely do things here at home? I don't know. It's just kind of far-fetched to me.
When I went to electronics school for 2 years in 84 and 85, we got one of these big IBM mainframes. I think it cost the school like $25,000, $30,000 at the time.
Right.
This thing was so big that you could literally walk inside of this thing. And this was back in the late 60s when this thing was made. It had punch
mm-hmm.
cards. You know what the old computer punch cards were?
I remember,
put data. That's how they stored data.
That's right. That was the computing power. They used punch cards. You're right.
Yeah.
And they used that all throughout the 70s, too.
That's right. Exactly. So you're telling
me
that we're going to...
Now I know because my scoutmaster was a computer programmer.
There
and my scoutmaster worked for a company called Datatronics. And I used to go into his computer. And he was the big shot. He was also our scoutmaster. And the other two guys were Green Berets from Vietnam. And I used to ask him about the moon landing. He would kind of smirk and go, you know, more or less, he looked at it like it was a fable, a folklore, kind of an old wives' tale. He would smile and kind of smirk about it. But go ahead, I'm sorry. I deviate from once in a while.
I agree 100%. How can they store that data and all that calculation and all that high-speed calculation when it wasn't there? We barely could have about black and white TVs, for God's sakes. But yeah,
that's what I was saying.
Room, right?
The color television came out in the late 1960s.
In the 60s, yeah. So that's, you know, we were still dealing with the aspect of black and white technology and all these, you know.
That's
they
right.
They couldn't even solve vapor locking on the old 60s station wagons. They couldn't even solve
We were
that.
Still perfecting frickin' TV dinners, for God's sake. We were selling that corn pop thing that came in the tin foil.
Right.
They were that just hit the market. Remember the game Operator, where you would, you know, that was a high-tech game when
it came out
in the mid-60s. It's amazing to me.
The day's microwave you got in your kitchen right now would have that thing could go to the moon and back today. It couldn't go back there in 1969. No. So, you know, tell me, how did they do it? There's so many unanswered questions of these things. It's not even funny. Okay. How? And back on all the other guests that was talking about, you know, they had back in the ancient hieroglyphics in Egypt, these things writing on the wall that showed these carts and these things coming from the sky. What are they doing? Have mass hallucination or something? There's something rotten in Denmark, as the old saying goes. And if you can decipher the Catholic Church at where they have all this stuff stored, you would probably faint and fall back in it of what they're actually hiding. They're hiding this stuff. You know they are. Because, you know, you talk about the fact that Tesla came up with the Philadelphia experiment, okay? Tesla figured it all out.
That's right.
He had it down to a science. And when he died, the government came in there, seized all his papers, seized that working tower and all that
stuff. They sure did.
And what do you think they did with it? Did they put it on a rusty government warehouse someplace and forgot about it? No.
No.
No, 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 no. They jumped on that like you know what on you know what, okay? And they got it perfected today. They have free energy devices. There's no doubt about that. They have anti-gravity devices. There's no doubt about that. Area 51, you can't even get 20 miles of that place unless you risk getting shot, okay? So they're hiding secrets. Now, I know we have some secrets, yeah, obviously, da-da-da, blah, blah, blah. But I do not think that mankind is smart enough, technically wise, to figure this stuff out. And the moon landings prove it. There's so many screwed up things, the angle, the light sources, all this stuff. It doesn't make sense. And I think one of your guys a while ago said that when you put your footprint down there, supposedly on the surface of the moon, that they said as well, it's like baby powder, okay? And it's got one-third less gravity. Well, the dust would come up and it would float. It wouldn't go back down just like they show on the video. You know that little rover that they had up there? You know, if you look close at it, they still have the original.
I love that car.
I love it too. I mean, it's fantastic. But if you look at the rooster tails that are coming up off of the back wheels or any of the wheels, okay, they are thrown up and they fall right back down. That indicates 100% gravity. If it was one-third less gravity, the dust would be floating like a fog behind the vehicle. I know I've had plenty of four-wheel drive.
You
vehicles.
Also don't
I've been
see
out
any
front.
Flickering. Right, and you know how stars flicker and shimmer at night?
Yeah.
You don't see
That's
any
right.
shimmering stars. You see little white dots. Yeah. And the more you
That's
look
it.
At it, the more fake it looks, and I love that the space mobile, the moon car, when they're driving. That's a California dune buggy. That they
That's
fixed
right.
up to make it look like
That's
a right. space age Star Trek kind of a vehicle. But there was a big story about that. They converted a dune buggy and they made it look like it was part of the NASA thing. Well, let me ask you this, or this is just a rhetorical question, and no one's ever answered this to me either, though they have some lame answer. Where in the hell – did you put a car in that rocket?
No kidding.
Nobody has ever given me a script. Where, if you go by their official thing, they landed the module. Okay. Mm-hmm. Who filmed them getting, who filmed the landing of the module?
That's right.
Secondly, where did the car come? Now, they claim the car was in the bottom of the module and it dropped down. That again, would say there's gravity. If they dropped the car somewhere from the module or they assembled it, it would have probably floated away. It's got 1/6 the gravity of Earth. But I always found that really – I don't know where the hell they put that car. It's a pretty big car.
It's a pretty good little craft there.
Well, it's a pretty good size. Yeah.
Yeah, they took it out, little bitty square. It was dehydrated, and they put a drop of water on it. But that's true. You've got a very good point there. And when that thing landed, those big feet out there on this little vehicle thing, when they landed, you've got a rocket engine. You are riding a rocket engine down. And yet, there's no dust. You could eat off those round feet on that lander, on that lunar lander.
Mm-hmm.
You could literally
mm-hmm.
eat off the feet. Where's all the dust? What'd they do? Go up there and take a broom out there and clean it all up before they filmed it? Come on, guys. I mean, really?
It looks like a California dune buggy on the moon. And they're going to tell you it was solar powered. When no sun gets mm-hmm. over there around that part of the moon, you know, how is it powered? They say it's either electrical or solar. I mean, there's just so many things that sound so bogus.
It's bogus.
Let's put it this way. Yeah. If we went to the moon in 1969, I give it a 1% chance that we actually went in that. Now, I believe we definitely went later, probably a few times, but I was not convinced we went in the late 60s when Tricky Dick Nixon, he's called Tricky Dick for a reason, folks. He was the shrewd fox. Whether you like him or not, he snowed the Russians. He saw the space thing. He used it for every bit of propaganda value against the communists and the Soviets to put America on a pedestal. And I think he did that brilliantly. Now, his demeanor, and again, whether or not we went will be debated for centuries, but I think Nixon took that situation and made it and just blew it up and got every nickel, every dime of propaganda value out of it for America. That's why he was called Tricky Dick. Because the Democrats and our enemies never knew what the hell he was going to do. The Viet Cong never knew what he was going to do. He bombed them on Christmas Day. Merry effing Christmas, you commies. And that's mm-hmm. how the game was played. And Nixon knew that. But good stuff, Gunslinger. Good stuff, man. Thank you for calling the show. Appreciate you, Ben.
All right, later.
Great night. You bet. God, love this stuff. We need some more calls, and we have some in the queue here. It is strange, all this stuff, isn't it? It's like strange days in America. It's all about the Stargates. These perplexing devices are what make space travel and exploration to distant worlds possible for advanced civilizations, even for less advanced civilizations. Because supposedly the Egyptians, Mayans, Incas, and other groups in the world use them. The Stargate is a round, very densely packed item, or kind of a product, if you will. It's a round circle, and the Stargate is ancient technology used in the universe. As the story goes, the Stargates were built millions of years ago by a highly advanced race called the Ancients. As they explored the universe, they seeded thousands of planets in our universe and locations with these gateways across multiple galaxies. Now, the theory goes that these Stargates are not only in this world, many more have not been found yet. That's why whenever there's any UFO or star travel or things of space that are found on planet Earth, you'll notice the intelligence agencies rush to the scene, cordon off the area. They will not allow flights overhead of any kind or even drones because they're trying to find out, are there more Stargates? These are very powerful devices. The Stargates had actually reached a point in their evolution and existence to where they could propel people throughout several galaxies to the ends of our galaxy and back again. There is no end. It's like the term infinity. It's world without end, right? But these beings, these ancients, abandoned their physical bodies to live as beings of pure energy. That was their choice, as the story goes. Even though these gate builders of the ancient world have ascended, their network, their valuable network of Stargates remained all over the galaxy, which would go on to have a far-reaching effect on the universe, in the future of America, and the time-space continuum. The Stargate enables near-instantaneous travel across vast distances of time and space by creating a stable and artificial wormhole between it and another Stargate. The Stargates within the galaxy are connected to each other as part of a network and are normally accompanied by an ancient dialing device. Now, movies in Hollywood, they do some kind of disclosure when they show a Stargate or some kind of a science fiction show, and this is actually something very real according to scientists who study this stuff. This is a complex control device and interface known as a dial home device, or DHD, and is wirelessly connected to the Stargate. The Stargate, if you will, is probably the original internet. It serves a vital role for normal Stargate operations. And this ties into the secret space program that we talked about before. These operations as a computer and a power source to the gate itself. Now, the DHD also performs a critical function of automatically compensating for stellar drift in space and in calculating precise locational details in order to ensure a connection, if you will, between Stargates. Now, there's thousands of these, or at least hundreds, we think, around the universe. On the pedestal-shaped instrument panel are buttons with symbols that represent stellar constellations. You pick where you want to go. These serve to indicate the coordinates for another Stargate that the user intends to connect to for your actual transport. A series of symbols dialed up in a certain precise order that corresponds to another Stargate's transmitter and location. The best example I can give you is your garage door opener. You can press it, and the Stargate, i.e. your garage door, comes up and lets you enter. Think of it that way in our earthly plane. That's called a gate address. After a correct gate address, the central button needs to be pressed in order to activate the Stargate itself. So a lot of our low-tech stuff here, the low technology, actually is this, it's the same general concept, not exact, of course, but these are coded stargates. When you press the button, you can go to the constellation you want, the date and time that you want, in the future or in the past. Some people on the internet claim they're time travelers and that they have been using stargates. And a few of them said that they worked for the American intelligence services, and they go on YouTube and other places posting things that are eerily correct when it comes to weather or the stock market or even war itself. But with that, let's get to our last final call. Sarah, let's bring on our tech wizard, our illustrious Irish pirate in all of his glory. Irish, are you there tonight?
Good evening, General Von Weehan.
Good evening. We're in overtime, not having no other way. How's it going tonight, bud?
I like being in overtime. That's usually when you need your clutch performers to shine. there's so many things to talk about. One of the things that the friends of mine that are listening, they're texting me as we keep going over where is the science for everything that's happening. And it's bringing on lots of conversations about it. We did bring up great scientists like Tesla, who I believe ran circles around Hawking. You have to get into what they were into and how they were. I'll give you a good example. E equals MC squared. We know that E is constant. You know, the energy that's available in the universe doesn't go up or down. We know that M, the mass of what's within on that energy, has never changed. You know, in other words, the energy goes up or down, the mass responds to it. However, we also know that several companies all over the world have bragged about what they've done to the speed of light. Some have even claimed now to stop it, let alone slow it down on command. Same thing's true with time. There are seven companies on the internet, at least that I've seen over the past 7 years, that have made the claim that they could do things with time. And if they were wrong, they wouldn't be in business to keep bragging about it. The question is, you and I, unfortunately, can't use the reverse of saying, well, you know, all we had to play with was small computers and things like that. Of course, the government was way ahead of us by probably, I don't know, several decades in technology. But as we were proving, does that mean they ever made it to the moon? It makes it a little bit of a tighter question as to exactly what happened. In a previous episode, remember, we got a chance to see the lithograph of the moon, you know, the actual printout that they made. And they made the printout with, you know, at the time, modern-day technology. What they didn't expect is that we would get even better technology later to go back and see where they whited out things we didn't want to see that were really on the moon. And that's what I think is more like what's happening with the video. Even if we did somehow make it to the moon, there are several things up there that they didn't want you to see. So I could see that if it had even been a real moonscape with a false planetscape behind it, just to make sure that what you were focusing on was the moon and the landing, and that's all they were talking about at the time. You know, we're going to the moon, we're going to discover the moon, we're going to do things on the moon. The answer is obviously we were looking forward to the moon being something that we could get a foothold so that we can see further out into the universe, but they never talked about that on the news. And so that's the thing that bothered me. What's so big about the moon? I mean, is this all there is? Of course not. We wanted to go to Mars. We were planning on doing stuff to see how close we could get to the sun. And nobody ever talks about these projections, of course, unless you read science fiction. And then that's all they want to talk about is projection. But when we actually apply the science, we don't project anything. We don't have any hypotheses running. We just want to show you what they want to call the science and control what it is you see. And if you are a scientific mind, you're going, I want more than this, than just a false conclusion. I don't want anybody else's opinion. Show me what actual science we have. This is very similar to what we talked about last week when Fauci doesn't have any reports. None of the people that he's over have anything to actually tell you other than we recommend something. Well, nobody was recommending how we would get to the moon. Nobody was recommending how our modern-day technology would be able to try and store computer energy or anything like that. And to this day, all they're doing is hiding it from us. And, yes, it looks more and more, for example, like our DNA, the modern-day memory and the pathways. And no one, for example, this is one thing I had to text out to my friends, no one has ever found who's got the patent for motherboard modular technology. What, that guy doesn't exist? Nobody gets any money for the patents?
Right.
That's pretty crazy. So it must be,
yes,
for example, reversed technology. Can't guarantee it's from UFOs. Maybe it was from our enemies kicking our butts technologically, and we just happened to get a hold of some and wanted to be able to distribute it, at least with the military-industrial complex that we have. It has to be available for bid so that people can make parts of the technology quicker than having to keep it in secrecy. Because if millions of people are working on it or in competition for it, it'll get developed faster here in the United States, or at least for now.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can hand it to the Chinese or whoever you think is going to be able to get it done quicker. But the important thing is there's always been a cap on that. And what they want to keep you focused on, it's hilarious. They don't want you dreaming about being an astronaut yourself. They don't want you dreaming about being able to use this technology in your future. And we discussed discussed that on the Bachelor show, that they were originally advertising, why, you want a washing machine. And we agreed. It gave you all kinds of freedom back in the day, like 1957. It was cheap. It was quick. It was effectively modular. It didn't take up that much of your home. And so all of this was for your plus. Then we fast-forwarded to the cell phones they forced on you. Because I used to love the flip phones. That was good enough for me, but they wouldn't let me have that technology anymore in their wonderful, you know, universe of cell phones. No, the towers didn't accept the second generation anymore. Even though I bought ahead thinking that if I have the technology, they certainly can't deny it to me. The answer is yes, they can. They have all the power in the world to tell me, so you bought a few extra flip phones. We won't service them. We'll sell you our new flip phones that we have more control over. And so here we are, stuck in a world that they're trying to tell us what the science is and turn around and can't prove to you there's any science in what they're doing. And so now we're in, quote-unquote, the future, and everything is scientifically arbitrary, unprovable, and we're lost in a fog trying to figure out how is it that you actually plan on looking forward to the future when you can't even prove the now? You can't even give me something to work with now that isn't completely under your control. Why should I trust you whatsoever to be able to get us to Mars or Uranus or anything else? And so it's really scary. Yet there's still...
It is. Now, as you're... Right, let me interject here. While you're saying that, Brett the Surfer dropped off. Brett, call back the show if you're out there listening. I was going to have you chime in for a few minutes as well. And Irish, I wanted to ask you before I forgot, how many of your friends are listening to the show tonight? And can you... And do they have any nicknames to call in at some point in the future time-space continuum to the Von Wiehunt Show?
Well, the one that you know the closest that I'm absolutely sure is still listening is Cacao Kelly, who is, she's, when it comes to knowledge about like tonight's topics and some of the scientific stuff that I get into, she's loaded. She knows a lot more than she's telling even me, and I love it. I can keep asking her silly questions,
awesome,
and she keeps giving me direct answers. Yeah, so I'm not used to this. And
it keeps
me very interested in the conversations we have. So
very cool.
Anyway, yeah, the more important questions that I have now, the scientists that are out there, many of them are living in people's basements now, and they're doing things that they really don't want us to know. I mean, if real science is being performed in America still, and if we talked about this, we're going to have to start doing it ourselves because the government's stealing it and not giving it back to us. So a lot of people are just holding on to what they know. They're not even giving it to the world anymore. And when time is right, they're going to circumvent the so-called future of, you know, the supposed post-human world or post-truth world that these people want to force upon us. And we're not buying it. And so here we are on one of the best platforms for that. We could be on the Von Wehan Show where it's pretty much an open mic, especially if you've established yourself, and be able to say, you know what? I was privy to this kind of technology. Matter of fact, I'm actually having to bite my tongue because of some of the stuff I used to do with the clearance, saying I could prove that back in the day, I was goofing around with technology that, you know, we're playing around with 35 years later. Thought it was okay later when they brought it up, but they sure didn't want you to know back in the day that they were using it for things. Good example of that was in the 50s. They didn't want you to know simple red dye that was being used on playing cards was used in, at that time, modern-day dynamite, that you literally could do awful things as a terrorist by buying a pack of cards or two. You know, they didn't want you to know that, so they just didn't tell you. But there were people
out there
who learned that the hard way. And so modern day, who knows what people are doing right now in their own homes? Heck, Von Wehan, you have a studio in your own, I don't know, your basement or something, some special room somewhere. I mean, that technology was certainly available 40 years ago, but no, you had to go into a radio station or a television station and be able to actually drag yourself into there where they could see what you're up to. Now you're given the authority to go out there and do that because now they can monitor your traffic on the internet or through satellites.
Right.
Although we're learning the satellites aren't that much under control. You know, there's certain advantages.
Well,
sat phones right now are the big thing.
Yeah. This signal goes through Chicago and New York City. And from there it goes around the world and throughout the nation. So this is a very interesting setup that I have concocted with Blog Talk. I told them what I wanted to do. And it took some work, as you know. I was re-engineering the whole show, and when I was down for about 5 months, my phone and email lit up like a Christmas tree. Where in the hell is the Von Wehan Show? And I would say, where in the hell have you been for 5 years? You never called in. They go, yes, I don't feel people, to their credit, are well-meaning. They go, well, I don't feel I'm as knowledgeable as your crew. And I went to listen. I go, I respect that 1,000%. I bet you're far more knowledgeable than you think you are, and you're always welcome to call the show because I learn new things every day, and I do not know everything. But I always say, if I don't know it, my callers know it.
Exactly.
Seriously.
You're going
if
where
I don't
I
know
wanted
it,
to go,
you know
me.
It.
You're going where I wanted to go here. The callers, the regular callers that you're acquiring, especially the later ones, you knew some of these people for decades, and you knew what they were capable of, and it helped create an environment. But over the last few years, the newer callers that have found you recognize the opportunity that you're offering them, that this is not one of those dominating shows like you talked about where you got some rhino host and even worse, a panel of people, you know, Mr. Producer and this bimbo that's in a seat next to, like, Joe Pass.
Oh, my God.
That's always a
– seriously.
Yeah, they just toss on.
Seriously.
Did you ever know anything like this? Oh, no, I didn't know anything like this. And they're wasting time because they don't have anything to say, and they don't
– They talk to their producer. Yeah, they talk to their producer who you never see or hear, or they have these fictitious imaginary friends, right, in the studio.
And
there's nobody
so
there.
Not willing to take,
there's nobody
not willing
there.
To, they're not
and
willing to take
just
the
me,
risk.
Right, right. And let me just say one thing here while we're talking about this too, Irish. You need a break, folks, from the 3-4 hour daily rhino talk shows that are out there, and you need a break from the drone of anyone's voice. That is precisely why I have promos and different callers and some music. It's to break it up, and I do it on purpose because people say, I just want to hear talk. No, I go, you want to hear chatter. There's a difference. Some people just love to hear talk, and I've actually listened to shows where for 3 hours while I'm doing other things around the studio, and you don't learn anything new. You have not wasted your time. It's been entertaining maybe a little bit. You hear tons of ads. And the hosts, these rhino hosts, you can tell they're rhinos. They never take calls. They talk about calls. They might have one guy talk for 30 seconds, and they'll say, "Thanks, Bob from Des Moines, Iowa. Now back to my show." My God. Talk about the height of arrogance.
Yeah.
There's one guy that you know who I'm talking about. He talks for 3 hours straight. And all he does is talk about how he feels about things. He never gives you stats. He never gives you any real opinion or conjecture, and never brings on callers, because I think he's afraid the callers are smarter than him. That's my theory.
Well, and hey, on your show, you'd be open to the callers being smarter than you. It's the exact opposite of these high sponsored. Oh,
I have no
problem
with that.
Correct. And what I'm suggesting is, for example, on one of the more conservative AM radio channels in town, it's not the commercials that bother me. Some of those actually are services and stuff I'm glad to know that's out there that I may or may not need. But the PSAs they run in the meantime are the same ones they've been running for years, and they were terrible when they started. It's the government PSAs that scare me to death, and there's more of those on conservative radio than anywhere else. And it's beyond belief for me that, number one, they can't fill it up with real advertising. Maybe they should lower their rates. Or is the government paying them so much money to put on this drivel? And then on top of that, the last...
Now we're getting somewhere. Now we're getting somewhere. They're getting sponsors with government help. I'm totally convinced.
Well, and of course, this is where your tech wizard shows up and says, "Von Wiehunt, I got better ideas. If anything else, I can beat these PSAs. I can beat even these cutting edge. Occasionally there's even a commercial. I like the angle of it, but I can still beat it with the audio. And you're giving me the suggestions on what you'd like to break up the show with. And most of the time I agree with you on that. I think I've only pocket vetoed 5%, saying that I couldn't get the feel of it or whatever. And probably that is true. But the important thing is when we find a common bond, boom, off it goes. The show gets that much better, and occasionally I even get lucky, hit a groove, and something I thought wasn't going to work works. And you're the beneficiary of that. You get to keep that for the rest of your life too. And
I love the
edge of it, because I have no idea what you're going to give me. I have no idea how it's going to play out. And then you have no idea what the callers are going to say.
I'm the trickster of the universe. You never know what I'm going to do. Exactly. Every show should be unique and different. And the one thing I'll tell folks is you need to get away from the drone of a 3 to 4 hour Rhino talk show host where there's lots of chatter, but very little is said. Very little is said. If you go back and analyze it, what did you learn from that show? And I ask you, what did you learn? You love this talk show host. What did you learn? Silence, crickets, nothing.
Well,
I go, what did
remember
you,
that you and
think
I
about
had,
it? Well, I liked it. You're popular. It's
remember
all
that
you
and I
have
had several discussions? We've had several discussions about different formats all over not only the United States, but Canada and Central America, because I listen to those broadcasts.
I know you do.
I can sit in my car and DX those things. I can listen to Cuba from here. You go, like, how do you do that? I understand the radio spectrum. I don't have anything special in my car. I have knowledge of how the Earth works. I have a really good idea that it must be around Earth. I know that it has an atmosphere. I know that it has elements that deal with the water and magnetics. And I'm using these things. And what I'm pulling out are the cutting edge of, for example, topics and what radio stations do. One of them that blew your mind is that in Mexico, they have a cutting edge kind of radio station coming now that deals with therapy. That literally it's 24/7, 365 rehabilitation for people that are sick of what the world has had to offer them. And that's what they're putting out there. And the stations have biblical quotes in Spanish, for example, since they're all Mexican. That is biblical quotes at the location sites of the transmitters saying, we're going to help save the world by bringing people back to being able to listen again. because they don't want to. They've been beat up by what the government fed them, and we're going to turn it around. And even the Mexican government says, yeah, we're kind of done with that. We don't want to be too harsh on these people. So you have your indigenous broadcasts and all sorts of, you know, very populist, very local in ideas and entertainment. And I think we're headed back that way. And rather, the government tries to control the airwaves, the more people like you and I are going to come up with the ideas that people want to hear. It's not that we're so genius. We're forced to go there because we have needs that are not being met by the FCC, not being met by the federal government. And
Irish, thank you, man.
Not providing those needs.
Thank you.
You are welcome.
You're right.
Sir.
Thank you, Irish. We are up against the clock as usual. I want to thank you so much for calling the Von Wien Show. Words of wisdom for the Irish pirate, folks. Thank you, man.
Thank you, Von Wien.
And he signs off perfectly well, perfectly timed. That was a good late show rant and political diatribe and smart, incisive thought by the Irish pirate and all of our great guests and especially our VIP guests as well. Well, it's time to end the show, but I will end you always with my final recap and then a really cool song to send us off. But here it goes. We were warned a long time ago that we were on the verge of a global transformation. David Rockefeller, the elitist globalist, speaking at the UN Business Conference in September the 14th, 1994, said that all we need is the right major crisis, and the nations of the world will accept the new world order. Well, that was in 1994, folks. It's 2021. That was approximately 28 years ago. I keep telling people, don't think for a minute that these people have got all their ducks in a row and they're all in agreement and the die is cast and etched in stone. It is not. The New World Order, there's a lot of infighting among those people. They still don't have this matrix dome over the earth. They're trying desperately to get everything done before they die. Don't forget, they're all in their 80s and 90s like Henry Kissinger. There are some are over 100. They are getting very old and crotchety, and they want to see this new world order before they die. That is why they had Agenda 2030 with the United Nations. They're hoping to get everything done by 2030. I told you before, they do not have the technology to do this. It's a very ambitious plan. Now, in the future, in 100 years from now, there might be a real new world order matrix. We have to resist it. We have to fight back against it. Fight back and resist and push these bastards back in the abyss where they belong. Physicists and astronomers tell us always that we are ancient souls. And we talked about that a little bit tonight. And that we have had experiences in multiple galaxies and star systems and multiple dimensions. And that we are galactic human beings. We don't even know our untapped potential. And at each incarnation, we carry with us our knowledge of the cosmos. I truly believe that. Because of our evolution, we have developed certain personality traits and certain mindsets, which has a great impact on the Earth, on the world, and our personal lives. Thank you so much for being on our galactic radio show tonight. I broadcast from my mountain stronghold. We thank you all for being here. I shall return next week as always. Stay safe. God bless. We are broadcasting from a galaxy far, far away.